Good afternoon. Certainly a good opportunity to be here with you today and thankful for an opportunity to speak to you from the Word of God. The idea that's been introduced, as Brother Nowell just said, that there was going to be a slight change. Now, Brother Nowell had come in here and said, we're going to change things up in the fashion that, you know, these walls are a little bit bland. We need to add something to them. We need to add some pictures of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need a little statue of the Virgin Mary. We need some other things. There might be a little upset in the congregation about the change that was going on. But the brother has introduced a biblical thing in the doctrine and the way that we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He hasn't really changed anything about how we do it. He just changed the order a little bit and enhanced it, I believe, in an appropriate way. And I'm thankful for that change. I mean, we need that every once in a while. Elder Craig Blair and I, a few years ago, were preaching at a meeting up in North Mississippi, and Brother Craig, I believe, was the first one after lunch, and he was preaching, and the pastor of the church was sitting over here, and he had a little bit too much lunch, and he passed away and was sitting there nodding a little bit and was even making a mild snoring, and Brother Craig paid attention. Well, Brother Craig finished his message, and the next elder, Elder Danny Wisner, got up, and he finished, and somewhere in the middle of that sermon, the brother woke up and realized there had been a change. So I hope I don't put anybody to sleep this afternoon, and I pray that we might relish the Word of God. The brother spoke this morning that there was one such person at a time that had thought that it would be best to leave out the book of James because of the idea of the works that it teaches. From the book of James in the 5th chapter, we find in the 19th verse, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from the death and shall hide a multitude of sin. There's quite a bit of things that we as gospel ministers, but not only gospel ministers, we as the children of God need to be considering as we walk through this world. There are many things today that have changed, and very few have changed for the better. We find here in the book of James, he describes that you tell me you have faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, one of the things that we're suffering from is, in times past, we as old Baptists have been rocked in the cradle of grace and have taken a notion sometimes that, you know, there's really nothing for us to do. And in times past, we can see from those actions that in some areas of the country, we're suffering from those decisions. You know, there's nothing better than a little child of God would contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Read the Word of God. And I pray that the Lord will bless us in my effort this afternoon, that when we read the Word of God, I was picking at Brother Staniland at lunch today. He was beginning to tell a story about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't mean he was telling a story. He was telling something from the Bible. And I interrupted him for a second. I asked, is this from the KJV, the ESV, the NASB, the NIV, or whatever? And he said it was from the Word of God. Well, I want to tell you, when we study and read the Word of God, we need to understand the Word of God. One of the Satan's biggest things that he battles against us when we walk out in the world every day is we fight a battle. And that battle is against change. In the very beginning, that was his whole motive of getting things started the way they were, by making a change. He only added one little word to the Word of God, but it made a significant change in its idea and parameters and everything. And it appealed to the vanity of man. It appealed. There are things about this one Satan or the devil that goes around, and he knows just exactly in your chink of armor which places to pick at. In the beginning, it was the vanity of man. It might be me. He might entice me by great riches or by, you can see what a great physical specimen I am. It might be by delicious cooking, however I might be enticed. But there are ways that we can be enticed. And we have to guard against it. Today, there's an elite group of people. I say elite. There are a number of people today that are very studious in their element of studying the Word of God. And there are many things out there that they go to look at to challenge the Word of God. And I think today we have one of the greatest phenomenons that people are more aware of the Word of God. But the problem is they've become a little confused about what it is they're studying. When I was growing up, there was never any doubt that this was the inspired Word of God. This is what I referenced. This is where we went for everything we need. Matter of fact, I don't think I was probably 25 years old before I ever heard there was anything besides the King James Version of the Bible. When I heard Scripture read, I didn't have to say that it came from the KJV. It was just implied. We knew it. And now today, when you hear something, and it says, well, this is out of the Bible. Well, as Brother Ronald Lawrence says, yes, it's out of the Bible. It's the left of Genesis and the right of Revelation. It's somewhere out there. But we find that there are a number of people that have erred in the Word of God, not because intentionally, but because they're being led astray. One of the things that I believe is that the Word of God has been preserved for God's people. And we need to consider that we have the Word of God that's been preserved for us, and we need to be steadfast in the movement of studying that Word. Now, one of the things that seems to be compelling in the world today is there's the idea that if you go up and you look in the Greek text, that in 1 John 5:7, the notion of the Trinity is not mentioned in the quote-unquote Greek writings. It's not mentioned in the Textus Receptus, and it's not mentioned in the Latin Vulgate, and so on and so forth. You know, it's funny they chose that particular one to take out. If you go and look in the Greek, and you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the word quicken is not in there. But if you go through and you take the entire text in its context and put it together, then you have a correct translation. Well, that's the same method that they take out of in 1 John 5:7. The whole message together leads us to believe that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We find that the Word, as taken as a whole, continues to take everything together and holds it intact. But when you take it and piecemeal it here and there, then you change not only the Word of God, you've changed the meaning. I was having a discussion the other day with somebody. If I mentioned the word White House, everybody in here, I think, probably that's 5 years old or older, would probably assume that I'm talking about the one that's on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Well, if I take that same verbiage and I literally translate it into Spanish, I make something that says Casa de la Blanca, the house that is white. Doesn't quite sound the same. Well, that's typically what happens when people start translating the Word of God. If they don't take it in its entirety, it loses something in the translation. And I want us to be studious in how that we understand and we know these things. One of the things that we have in the James tells us this. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Studying is a work of God. It's a work for us to do while we're here in this world. It's something that gives us things to meditate upon. I'm going to tell you, the minister that comes into this stand hasn't meditated on the Word of God. What is he meditating on? What is he thinking about? If we're not going to hold to the true Word of God, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to meditate on? What are we going to preach to God's people that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness? We have something that's been given unto us. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be the first one to admit, if there's something wrong with this Bible, this one that I'm sitting here holding today, if there's something wrong with it, it's probably 99.99, and how many nines you want to carry it out, it's probably an error with me. And I'll go further than that. I'll say it's 100%. The Word of God that we've been given, been preserved with, has given us the knowledge of how God works. One of the things that we have to understand about the great God of heaven is a God of order. He didn't just throw in things in chaos and randomly pick ways to bring these things to us. Over a period of time, as we read and understand the Word of God, he unfolds everything before us that was necessary. The brother preached this morning about the woman being in travail and all that. She just didn't instantaneously become a child and then went into travail. A period of time went through as the conception process, as the growth process, and then the full mature of the gestation process took place, 9 months, more or less. In the Word of God, we see this same thing unfolding. There's a beginning. There's the things that have to take place. There's all the things that transpire. There's the elapsed time that finally passes until the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then He reveals unto His disciples the wonderful truths of how that He is going to complete and finish the work of God. How that He Himself is going to take on our sin. He's going to take it upon Him. Him that knew no sin, He's going to take it upon Himself. You know what? He's not only going to do that, He's going to do something else. He's in exchange, He's going to give us a robe of righteousness. He's going to place, impart His righteousness unto us. And that's, I won't tell you, if you go out of to Walmart today, there's no, or bank or wherever, there's no place on this earth that will take that trade. They're not even, wouldn't they? They'd just laugh you out the door. I want to tell you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we understand fully how that He took upon our sin upon Himself and in return gave us something that we can't even fathom how great and wonderful it is. When you convert a brother from error, how did He do this? Well, it was promised to us in the Old Testament that the Emmanuel, our Emmanuel, would come. That's a pretty unique word. Emmanuel actually means God is going to be with us. God is going to be manifest in the flesh with us. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how you want to change the Word of God up, you can't make it say what it doesn't say. Or you can't make it say something that it doesn't mean. You have to take it for what it says. It says God is literally going to be here with us. When the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and was upon this earth, He was literally here in the flesh with us. He was fully man and fully God. Now I tell you what, I can't fully comprehend that today. That's just too much for my puny little mind to completely get his arms around and understand. But I'm going to tell you by faith, I believe that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was fully God and He was fully here on this earth. And not only that, that He came to do His Father's will. And the brother quoted in Philippians chapter 2 this morning, he thought it not robbery. He thought it not robbery, being equal to God, to have himself of no reputation to come in this form. I'm going to tell you, you think about someone would leave the throne of glory and come to this sin-cursed earth to be here to suffer the things that he did. And I'm going to tell you, he suffered a lot more things than we even think about. One of the things is the great shame that he took upon himself. The Jews believed that it was such a curse for anyone to hang upon a tree. They wouldn't even do it themselves. But they didn't. They allowed the Romans to do it, to carry out, to put our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to an open, a public shame, a display for everyone to mock and see. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He tells us in the Hebrew letter that He went through, He endured those things, despising the shame. He did that for us. That's hard for someone that's not born of the Spirit to completely understand. That's something that someone that really doesn't care about their eternal destiny, that's something they really don't care about. But I want to tell you, for every one of us that are born of the Spirit, those that have seen how that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done such a wonderful thing in our life and brought us out of that place of darkness and opened our eyes to the wonderful things that He's done for us. How could we ever question His deity and the wonderful love and grace that He shows unto us each and every day and the marvelous, abundant mercy that He gives to each and every one of us each and every day? Now, with that said, if we're full of the Spirit, if we're living for the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day, if we're continuing to carry ourselves and conduct ourselves according to the Word of God, Paul asked a question. In Romans chapter 6, Are we going to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when you read the Word of God, and especially in that sixth chapter of the book of Romans, he repeatedly says, God forbid that we continue to operate. God forbid that we continue to think this. God forbid that we continue our actions in this manner. How can we that have been made alive, how can we that have been freed from such a bondage, from such a debt, how can we continue to walk and live in such a manner? How can we ever want anything else but to be as close to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we can possibly be? I'm going to tell you from real world experience, there have been many times in my life, if I had not had that very closeness, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be standing here walking with you today, talking with you, visiting with you. I wouldn't have the desire to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive 6 hours to be at a place as what the world might say is in the middle of nowhere. Of course, I know that it's in the middle of a peanut field, but that's beside the point. God has touched us in a mighty way to be able to see and do these things. And not only that we do them, but that we rejoice and enjoy doing them. You know, I once met a man. He was from up close to Scottsboro, Alabama. His family was raised in the old Baptist church, but when he married, she was of another faith and order, and he followed her. But I got to know him later in his life, and one time he was with the 101st Airborne, I believe he told me. It was either that 86, but anyway, he was in World War II, and General Eisenhower was touring the troops, and he asked him a question. He said, "Son, do you like to jump out of planes?" He said, "No, sir, but I like to be around people that do." You know, not only do I like to be do these things, but I like to be around other people that do. I'm going to tell you, I have enjoyed my time here today, and as I go home tonight, I'll think about the wonderful things that I've done today and felt and experienced, and I'll take those with me. And I will tell you what, brother, I enjoy the idea of that little change that you made. That's a wonderful idea. We shouldn't be against change as long as it's biblical. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converting." That's what we're doing as we walk through the world today, is we're understanding more and more and more about the Word of God. But I want to tell you, I want to emphasize, it's not just any word, it's the Word of God. When I read this Bible, I feel compelled that this is the inspired Word of God, and I'm being led by that wonderful Spirit of God that opens my eyes and my mind to the things that He's doing. And one of those things I like to do when I have opportunity is to share it with those around me. My wife and daughters make fun of me because we go to places like the Smoky Mountains or Branson, Missouri, or wherever we might be. Typically, I don't ride the rides or go shopping where they do. I like to sit down on a bench somewhere, and if somebody sits down, I like to start talking to them, and they're just amazed at how many people I'll start talking to while we're there, and you'll be surprised at what kind of conversations you can have. But I have had many wonderful conversations with those that are there, and we've talked about the Bible and the wonderful things that God does, and we might not ever mention one scripture, but we see the effects that it has on one another. You know, I could have sat there, I could have kept my mouth shut, but I'm going to tell you, it would not have been as wonderful an experience as it was when the Lord blesses you to open up to those around you. I'm going to tell you, that's what we, as the old Baptists, can grow in each and every day, is that we can open up to the wonderful experiences that Jesus Christ has done for us while we walk here in this world. I don't believe that there's a one here today that they had opportunity one by one to rotate among here, could sit here and give without having any testimony of what wonderful things that the Lord has done for them. We'd be here probably 3 or 4 weeks from now, trying to get everybody through to tell of the wonderful experiences that they have. I'm going to tell you, when we can do that, and we can do it in a loving manner. The brother talked about when you talk to Satan, you need to talk to him in a respectful manner. I'm going to tell you, that goes double when you're talking to a brother and sister in Christ. When we talk to our brother and sister, right, even though that brother don't believe the same way or the same thing, we can talk respectfully to them. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible already told us, he says, offended brother is harder to win over than a walled city. I'm going to tell you, we're in a fight each and every day. We need to strive to do the very best that we can to be kind one to another. You know, we like to think it's, you know, it's easy to be kind to people that are kind back to you. I'm going to tell you, I have not had a moment since I've been here that I wished that I was somewhere else. I've been treated very well, over and abundantly well while I've been here. Met some wonderful people. But I tell you what, it's hard when you go out and somebody's talking and every other breath out of their mouth is some word or verbiage that is a vulgar or you wouldn't want to repeat in the company of your mother or anybody else. It's hard to do that, but I'm going to tell you, we have a job. We're to continue to be ministers, every one of us. We are all ministers in a different way. Now, not every one of us is called to stand and watch over a little flock and preach the gospel, but we're all ministers. We all have a thing that we need to do each and every day. We need to, the brother said, and that Matthew, we need to so let our light shine before men that others might see our good works, that what? That we might continue to be able to boast ourselves up. That's not what it says, that we might glorify God. I'm going to tell you, that's what we're here to do, to glorify God. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy for me to stand here today and talk to loving people, but it would be very difficult if all of y'all were standing there ready to throw knives and darts and shoot and everything else and had everything vulgar to say to them. One of the things I always tell the congregations where I'm from, we have a mission. Our mission is to drain the swamp. But sometimes it's hard to remember that when you're up to here in alligators. That doesn't diminish our capacity. That doesn't diminish our desire. It shouldn't diminish our faith in any bit. It ought to be all the more challenging and compelling unto us to continue to walk the walk and do the same things, to try to do the very best that we can. What is that? Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I pray today that that's what we're here to do and we continue to do as we walk through this world. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.